site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Outlet covers, toilet locks, cabinet locks, childproof lids, the doorknob guards so they can't open certain doors, sodden locks, safety gates, the soft rubber things on every sharp corner, crib monitors, bed rails, knee pads, elbow pads, helmets, shin guards, spoons that turn colors if the food is too hot, training wheels, insect repellent, SPF 40 at the minimum, leashes for when you walk in the mall, antibacterial hand wash, hypoallergenic pillows, life vests, those arm floaties for the pool, anything and everything out there that will help keep our kids even a little safer, we get. And yet the majority of parents aren't using the one thing that could protect their kids the most. A booster seat. Until your kids are 4'9", they need a booster in the car. It helps the seatbelt fit correctly, it greatly decreases their chance of injury, and it's one safety device that could make the biggest difference. After the toddler seat, boost your kids and don't let them down.
Go to boosterseat.gov to learn more about the importance of boosters. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Excellent. How are you today?
Well, I caught a cold on the last day of my honeymoon.
Oh, no.
So I don't have much of a voice, folks, so bear with me. I'll try not to do too much talking. We do have a guest today. But I did want to talk about a few things first. And, of course, number one would be Sub Bears.
Sub Bears.
This is getting more fun than 85.
Just about.
This is really a lot of fun. I mean, except for that bum Benson, they would have had a shutout.
Right. And I found a lot of Bears fans. They're not happy that we won 47. They're more disappointed we gave up 7 points.
Right.
So, you know, things are looking good then, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really mad.
I was too. I think a lot of people were.
It's unbelievable. We're up 40 points, you give up 7, and it's like the worst thing that ever happened to us. I couldn't believe it. You can't give up 7 points.
Oh, I know. Oh, they look, it's just it's devastating. I've never seen an offense like this ever with the Bears, I don't think.
Not with the Bears, absolutely not with the Bears.
Oh, this Berrien guy is good.
Yeah.
Davis, and oh, it's Rex is doing the job.
You know, and we got such a good rotation. They're rotating guys out, and they're all stepping up.
Right.
We're having fun this year.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
This is awesome.
Chicago deserves this.
Absolutely.
All right, next, stupid regulation of the week. I flew to the West Coast for the first time since 9-1-1. And first of all, I was surprised that, you know, I wasn't on the no-fly list.
Right, they let you on the plane.
I was rather disappointed, actually. It was a real shot to my ego.
Sure it was.
Yes, I was not on a no-fly list.
So they're totally expecting me pulled off to the side, asked a million questions.
But they did, in San Diego, they did inspect and confiscated a couple of cigarette lighters. Of course, a couple of our cigarette lighters got through.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They picked and chose the cigarette lighters, huh?
Yeah, well, they looked at one bag, but they didn't look at another bag, you know, and I had a nice Zippo. I would have been upset about it if that had gotten confiscated.
Sure.
I had it in my pocket, so I just stashed it in this little, just like a paper bag kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't look at that one. But the really funny thing is, which gets me to the stupid regulation of the week, is apparently you can have all sorts of contraband as long as you put it in a plastic bag.
Oh, really?
The rule is everything's got to be in a plastic bag. Toothpaste has got to be a plastic bag. I bought some salsa in Old Town San Diego and brought it back. And that's got to be in a plastic bag. Also, if I had explosives in that in that salsa bottle. I suppose if it was a plastic bag, what, it wouldn't explode as much?
Well, you have a plastic bag that's durable enough to hold that explosion.
It'll hold the explosion. Or do they have sensors in the airplane that hear if you're unwrapping something out of a plastic bag? I'm trying to figure out the logic to this.
Oh, there is no logic to this. You know that. You've been doing that for years.
Don't you know you have to have it in a plastic bag? Well, no. Oh, I forgot the first thing he says. My wife was, I don't know, she went off somewhere, walking somewhere. And so, and it was her suitcase that was being expected, her carry-on. And he says, is there any explosives or dangerous items, any knives, anything like in there? And in the bag. And I said, well, I don't know. I didn't pack it. Honey, she doesn't need explosives. We don't count it humor here, sir. It's not funny. I told you I'd get in trouble.
Of course.
I caught myself.
I couldn't wait to get back to hear the stories of it. I was looking for you on CNN every night, the news channels on cable, waiting for your name to pop up. Big airport scandal in San Diego. I'm like, oh, here we go.
No. I don't know. But, so I'm surprised I didn't get detained for that, for unlawful humor in front of the TSA agent. Whatever law they have or rule.
I do have a question for you. On the airplane, when you're on the airplane, did you wear your seatbelt?
On occasion.
On occasion.
Not always when I was supposed to. But actually, that would be an airline regulation, and I don't have less of a hard time with corporate regulations than I do with government.
No, I'm just ranting.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's nice to have you back in town.
Well, it was. It's nice to be back, but we had a great, wonderful time. I'll tell you what, Catalina Island is absolutely beautiful. Which brings me to my other stupid regulation. Well, it's opposite of stupid regulation of the week. It's what libertarians, here's a libertarian answer to what most people consider something that has to be regulated. Catalina is a beautiful island. It's mostly it's the city of Avalon is where most everything is. It's a very small area, part of the island. There are virtually no cars,
mm-hmm.
A few cabs, and people either walk or they get around, and there's some bicycles or golf carts. And it's really a beautiful, undeveloped island. The front, the front street in front of the beach, no cars are allowed. So you just walk, as pedestrians just walk the street. It's wonderful. We went all out on the first day and got the premier hotel room on the whole island.
All right.
Which is right on the beach. We had our private balcony and the jacuzzi and fireplace. And
great.
It's really nice.
Perfect for honeymoons, huh?
Yep.
Awesome.
And so that was really cool. And the thing is, people say, well, you need government regulation to do things like that and to restrict growth because there's hardly any growth on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out, I didn't know this, the Wrigley family owns the island.
Oh, really?
In fact, the Cubs used to play their exhibition baseball there. They used to charge to their spring training on Catalina Island. And apparently, and I don't know if this has been converted to a regulation, but it needed not to. The point is, if you own the whole island, and what the Wrigley family does is you can own your house on your property, but you don't own the property. You lease the property from them. So they have total control of what kind of development goes on.
Sounds like it.
And that, folks, is a market answer to the problem of too much growth, keeping a beautiful island unspoiled.
Right, right.
And it is unspoiled. It's so nice, though. You can see 30 feet down in the water.
Nice.
It's just, went snorkeling one day. It was really nice. So.
I'm kind of surprised you came back when you did. I would have stayed out there longer.
Well, we would like to, but, you have to get back to reality. So, and then we spent my wife had a week conference in San Diego, so the second week we were in San Diego, and that was nice. I was forced to play golf every day.
Nice.
And lay on the beach, and it was rough, but...
Rough, huh?
Managed.
Cool.
So, it was great. So, anyway, so there's your two sides of plastic bags on airlines. Somebody, please let me know what the logic is there, and a libertarian answer to growth problems. We got a pristine Catalina Island, and it stays that way because a family owns it,
mm-hmm.
and they make the rules, and that's the way markets work. We're going to have a guest today, Jack Roser, president of the Family Taxpayers Network. We're going to talk about education and the governor's race and funding for it, for education. So we'll do that after we break for a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, 1 block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a 2-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, non-profit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings and thank you for your support. All right, we're back with Freedom Rings, and that bumper reminds me that, Mike, we saw, Pam and I saw The Who Monday night.
Really?
Before we took off for Catalina at
awesome.
The United Center.
It's, sure.
It was really good. Peter Townsend, I swear, is better than ever. He still has the energy. We thought he was going to have a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
He was really good. I mean, his guitar work was superb.
Awesome.
So The Who are alive and well. Well, most of them. Of course, some of them are dead.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ringo's son.
Ringo Starr's son?
Plays the drums.
Oh, really?
I swear to I know this is like a heresy for Who fans.
Uh-huh.
They think he's even a little bit better than Keith Moon.
Nah, I don't think anyone's better than Keith Moon, you know?
Tells me he can't say that in rock, you know.
Right,
he's
the guy, right.
He's the drum god.
Uh-huh.
I know. I'll tell you, he's really good, though. Excuse me. Okay, I'd like to welcome to the show today... a incessant fighter for let's say fiscal government at the local level especially and for freedom. My friend colleague Jack Rose. Jack, how you doing?
Just fine.
Pardon my I caught this cold a few days ago, Jack, so I won't be doing too much talking. I'm just gonna throw you the ball and let you
run with it.
So we do have an election coming up and perennially funding for education always comes up, and I know you've been studying this for years. What is your outlook of what we have in the future for funding of education? In any direction? Are we going to move toward vouchers or tuition tax credits, or are we going to keep on paying for these humongous salaries for the teachers and teachers' unions?
Well, that's a lot of questions, Ken. And
that's I see them all at once. You can just go.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. I'm far more than somebody that studies these things. I've been fighting this political battle at mostly at the local and state level for 40 years.
Yes, you have.
So no newcomer to the problem. Let me say this. You have a huge, highly invested public school system in Illinois and all over this country, run by the government, with many immense, take Illinois alone or take your local school district, many hundreds of millions of dollars invested per district in buildings and operating things. That's not going to go away anytime soon because of vouchers. For one thing, politically, this state is not going to, it's democratically controlled totally, and the Democrats are totally against anything but a government-run school system, no matter how bad it is. So facing reality, you aren't going to get the voucher in the near term. Nationally, it keeps on moving. It's the thing that has been approved by the Supreme Court, and the voucher is the future because it puts the parents back in charge and parents stuck with just going to the school near them. But having said that, you've got to be realistic about things. You've got a big public school system. You've got quite a few people that like it, and they want it to continue. This is a democracy, and their rights are going to have to be listened to. There's a huge investment there, and you aren't going to throw that away. The voucher isn't going to come soon, so what's the alternative? The alternative is to look at the K-12 school system, and my remarks are not directed at the community colleges. I think they are really the brightest hope in this whole education thing in Illinois, but the K-12 system is clearly the worst-run organization in the state, bar none. The federal government is run better than the K-12 system. Why would I say a thing like that?
That's really amazing. That anything could be run better than the federal government.
Well, take one quick
work,
look.
I should say.
Education is a very heavy labor-run business. somewhat like manufacturing. The cost isn't the building. The cost is the people you put in the building. Teachers are very highly paid in Illinois. If anybody doubts that whatsoever, go to our website, which is thechampion.org. That's all one word, thechampion.org. On there you will find all of the salaries of all the teachers in Illinois, what school they're in. You'll find all the administrators. You'll find the costs. You'll find how they're organized in every district. There's almost 1,000 different districts in Illinois. And good thing there are so many. It'd be worse if there were less. Bigger is worse, not better. But you'll find all the salaries there, and you can look them up by name or school or anything you want. Some years ago, I was talking to a reporter for one of the big newspapers, and it's about 7 years ago, and I told her she had the wrong salaries in her article, that they were much higher. She said, well, I got them from the school district itself, so they must be right. I said, that's why they're wrong. I said, the only way you're going to get the right thing is from the State Board of Education, the Teachers Retirement System Report, the TRS. Now, they put what they're paid for on that thing because that controls what their pensions are going to be. They get 3/4 pay of their last 4 years. Average is what their pension is. It's a monstrous pension. But anyway, you do get the right salary there. And so when she said that, I said, you got to go there. And she says, well, I don't have time to research that. So I put it on our internet site. We get up to 2 to 3 million hits a month on that site. I think over half of them are teachers looking to see where they can go and get an even better paid job. Because there's a huge variability in the salaries that teachers are paid. You might be surprised that ordinary grammar school or high school teachers, right down to whatever grade level, you can find people in there that are teaching fourth grade that are paid $150,000 a year. Over $100,000 a year is not uncommon.
It's so, just amazing. Mind-boggling.
The premise is that it's a labor-driven industry, and you can't let your labor costs go. In every company, in the state of Illinois also, and in the federal government, everybody that works has got some kind of a category of pay. And that job is described by people that know what they're doing and assigning logical amounts of pay to every job. You can go on the internet, you can find these things. or you can pay the numerous companies that make a business of advising corporate economy, corporate managers, what they should properly be paying in the area they live in. That's in the state of Illinois, that's national. This is a system of pay that everybody uses except the K-12 system. And in the K-12 system, it's a completely broken, union-driven system, totally out of control. It's a huge mess. It's not good for the teachers. That is very unfair to some, and it gives a huge salaries to others. It gives away huge pensions. It's set up so there's no relationship between the pay they get and how much the kids learn. Quality is not the determinant for salaries in it. You can't imagine, really, how bad this thing is until you dig into it and you see the abominable accounting that goes on in these school districts. And no corporation could get away with the kind of accounting they do. Any business operator would go to jail if he ran his company like that.
Well, it's typical of government. I mean, same thing with Social Security.
This is worse than, this is government on the loose. It really is. There is more supervision of what goes on at the state level or municipal level than there is of what goes on in the school system.
And it seems to me what happens, Jack, with these school districts and the teachers is that they look at the other school districts and say, see, those teachers are making more. We need to keep up with them in order to have quality education. What happens is they're just playing hopscotch with them.
We call it ratcheting, Ken. Yeah. There's always some school district making more.
Right.
I mean, the ends of anything, the highs and the lows, are a long distance from the average. And these school districts are constantly trying to crank this thing up by comparing themselves to some place where the taxpayers have got more money than they need, and they're willing to just pay anything that they're asked. So they try to ratchet the system up. They can always find somebody getting more. Anyway, that's the system that's going, and the first truism is the K-12 system is the worst-run organization in the state. The second thing to say is it doesn't need to be that bad, and we don't have to wait for the voucher to start getting going on improving this crazy system that does such a poor educating job on the international scale. The United States ranks very low and K-12 education compared to the rest of the world. We pay the most, but we get the worst. So that system needs to be straightened out some.
So how do we improve the system?
Some places it's okay. A lot of parents think their local district is good. But our kids are being put into a system that is gradually dumbing down the United States. And we're going to have a harder and harder time competing in a world economy. It's also the reason why kids now have to take about 5 years to get through college. It's because they come so poorly prepared. The community colleges will give you a test to see how much remedial work you need before you can go into the two-year college system. They are constantly repairing the lack of education that's been given to the kids and realize they got to know more to hold a good job, and they go to the community college system. So support your local community college system. It's the best of the bunch. But elect yourself a new school board because very few of them are doing their job. Everybody should go and look at the teacher salaries, and you'll get an eyeful of just how high they are. The kids look up these things in high school because they're all computer literate. They know how to play games. They know how to get on the Internet. They know how to Google. And they find, the kids find the Family Taxpayer Network, and they laugh at the salaries that are paid at the teachers that they know aren't any good. Let me make another generality. The teachers in the school system, I would characterize half of them as being saints working in a bad system. If it weren't for the fairly large number of really good, personally driven to do excellence, people, plain, ordinary teachers, if it weren't for that half, the system would just fall down with a crash. The other half have done what I call retired while still on the payroll. So you got a big mix of teachers whose pay doesn't correlate with the job they're doing. You got some good ones and some bad ones. The system stinks. And that's what we've got to do, is repair this really broken education system.
How do we repair it, Jack?
Well, first thing to do is get a realization that the school system does not have a funding problem. It's got a spending problem. You don't need to increase our taxes to improve the school system. You'll find states out there like North and South Dakota and New Hampshire, of all places, many others, where this, they spend far less than Illinois, and on the tests that are done every year, the students from there do far better than the ones from Illinois, where we spend all this money. And while the school unions are on the TV telling you that we're 48th or 50th in spending on education in Illinois, that they know that that's a lie. The fact of the matter is that the amount that's spent on your kids, we rank from year to year in a range of 11th to 15 out of the 50 states. We're far above average in spending. Like all of them, and all of these districts, on the average, we don't do too well in educating our kids. In the big cities, it is absolutely atrocious. In the city of Chicago and others, large cities in this state, you'll find that only half the kids that go to high school ever graduate, and then when they graduate, they are at the sixth grade level. The unions and our politicians, particularly the Democrats, who have nursed this system along and use it to get reelected constantly, the teachers' union is strongly behind almost all the Democrats, and half of the Republicans are kissing up to the union as well. But this is a terribly broken system. These people have no compassion for the poor people that are in the schools in a city like Chicago. Smart kids and kids from families that, you know, have some education themselves, or for whatever reason, even some of these poor people care about their kids. And these kids, ethnic kids and so forth, they aren't born stupid. They can learn. But in the city of Chicago, the poor people are treated terribly. They have the worst teachers. They don't have any intent in their minds to teach people in the first grade. Children can learn to read a book in the first grade. I don't care what kind of poverty-stricken home, what color they are. I don't care about any of that. If you've got a teacher in that room that's determined, a classroom of 30 or 40 kids would learn as they did all through the past. Our school system wasn't this bad 40 or 50 years ago. It's gotten worse as we've thrown money at it. But talk about compassion. These people with the teachers' union is hiding behind the children. It isn't for the kids. 80% of the education fund, and that's the fund that you spend most of your money in, it isn't the money to pay the bonds to build the schools. A lot of those buildings are here and well paid for. The others will be paid for in 20 years. But 80%, more than 80% of the education fund goes into the pockets of the certified professionals of the school district. And the worst part is the administrators. That's worse than I'm telling you about the teachers. Their salaries are obscenely high. So are their pensions. The salary
they spend all their time writing reports on all the federal regulations that are imposed on them.
What is that, Ken?
I said, well, those administrators, we got to pay them all that kind of money because they have to spend all that time writing reports to the federal government, adhering to all sorts of regulations.
Well, that isn't the reason. The reason is that these people, in this, including in recent years, even the finance superintendent, have to have a certificate or they can't work in the school system. As a result, the whole K-12 school system is inbred. You can't bring in an administrator or a finance person or a teacher or anybody else in the world where they know something. Einstein couldn't teach in the K-12 system of Illinois. Wouldn't be allowed. Nor anybody else that's maybe a history major. No, you have to have a teaching certificate. And the teaching colleges sure aren't doing their job. At any rate, what you've got is this broken-down system, and when they tell you that it's for the kids, it isn't. This money largely goes into the pockets of the professionals that are supposed to be teaching our kids.
We're talking with Jack Roser, president of the Family Taxpayers Network, talking about education, K-12. If you'd like to join in the discussion, give us a call at 847-931-1410, 931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. Jack Cesari is a real go-to tech guy. Jack Cesari is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. Jack Cesari comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Cesari at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Cesari. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Ring, talking with Jack Roser in education, and how about going to the phone, Jack?
Just fine.
Okay. All right, we have Wendell. Hello, Wendell.
Hello. I'm listening to this man who's been attacking unions and saying they're bad, and unions is what have protected workers and workers' rights since the industrial age in this country. And he's throwing everything into the same bowl and saying it's all the same. There are a lot of these costs in these schools isn't because of the teachers and the teachers' union. It has to do with the administration. Are administrators in the union there, Mr. Roser?
I sympathize with people that have been in working men's unions And in many cases, that's the only way they got things straightened out with bad employers. But believe me, sir, anybody that sweats for a living in a building trades or any other union in a plant and so forth, they're in an economy where they've had to justify themselves, and they're doing a reasonably good job, or they wouldn't be there as a union. They're
talking with people. Well, it seems to me that the problem is...
I'm not against unions. Sir, you just don't know how different the teachers' union is from any other trade union in the whole country.
Well, I do understand that what I think is that the problem is we've got all these different school districts, and it's all so many different things, and you got different school districts that pay differently because they're run differently, and then you're throwing them all into the same thing and saying they're the same thing. Well, all we need to do is eliminate all the school districts and have the state administer. The state will do a much better job than all these individual school districts.
Sir, you'd only have one larger government-run thing that's all bust. I would suggest that you go to the Family Taxpayer Network website, thechampion.org, and look at the salaries they're making.
You've
been in any union in your whole life. You'll be astounded at the disparity of wages within the teacher system.
There's
no justice for the teachers in the system either. This is broken badly.
That's why it's broken, and the state should take over, because it deals with our kids, and it deals with our future, and because it deals with the kids. I was wondering if you had anything to say about this this Republican Mark Foley.
Sure. Let me say two things. One of them is, you want to turn it over to the state, lots of luck. You're going to get either Judy Barta Pinkett or Blago or Loyovich. Neither one of them is going to straighten out the schools, that's for sure. As far as Foley goes, really the big trouble there is not that anybody ignored, at a high level, ignored things they should have done something about. The big trouble is that you got a whole network of homosexuals, pardon me, but as aides that are spread through so many of these offices, and they know that this guy Foley, for the last 3 years it's been in the newspapers that he was a homosexual, and that was known in his local newspapers, and the homosexual network that works within our government, they fully know all of that stuff, and they've been not giving
right,
the information.
So basically they do what they covered it up, okay.
Do something about it. The homosexual network has wormed its way into politics where they don't sweat and they don't work hard, and those people have gotten in there, and they're looking out for their own bunch. And they aren't looking out for our kids except to take advantage of them. And that's too bad that Hastert and other guys didn't have sense enough to get aides within their offices that weren't involved in that kind of sexual foolishness.
Okay, Mr. Ken.
The trouble is they've let people be in there. Look at it this way, sir. The schools and the media tell you that homosexuals are perfectly okay. Like they say in the Seinfeld, absolutely nothing wrong with that. Well, aren't we telling our kids that homosexuality is okay? Aren't we setting them up for predatory homosexuals to turn them to their crazy sexual needs? We're nuts if we're educating our children in the schools and the media's helping to telling people that homosexuals are perfectly okay.
Well,
the fault
I'm
in the whole thing is you've got a whole web of people that are congressmen, everybody's been told they're perfectly okay. Well, they aren't. Nobody looks at their newborn baby boy and says, how wonderful, my boy can grow up to be a homosexual. They aren't perfectly okay, and the schools and the newspapers ought to quit telling them that they are.
Well, okay, I want to congratulate Mr. Kent on his is marriage. I wanted to...
Thank you, Wendell.
I want to ask you, Mr. Kim, did you get a marriage license?
As I told you before, Wendell, this program is about... It's about the abstract. It's about ideas. It's not about my life personally.
Okay,
so we'll leave it at that.
Did you get a marriage license?
What did I just tell you? Okay, let's move on. Wendell doesn't listen. He doesn't listen too well. let's move on. We have Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Yeah, Wendell's interesting. I'll tell you. To see it at least, but the Wendell's wrong about one thing. The teachers, the regular unions, which are really worth a crud now, I was in a union for years, they don't fight for you no more. And the teachers union is the strongest union next to the concrete union. They're stronger. Actually, I think they're stronger. There is no, you don't have to be show any that you're doing your job. You just get, once you get your tenure, you can do anything you want to do. Maybe if you murder somebody, maybe you might get fired. But they could throw all the money to every school. They give $1 million to every single school that there is, and they still would be the same situation we're in right now. Like the man said, he's talking, and I think you're right, sir, that they the big shots are getting the money. We are the worst. What are we? In schools as countries in this country, aren't we behind like
in student achievement? I believe only way behind is what Jack.
Yeah, I mean even Illinois, but even in this country,
oh yeah,
we're behind all the other countries. My God, there's some countries that you wouldn't believe they're ahead of us.
Oh yeah,
and I think it's just sad, and I think Wendell's off of base on this union thing because the teachers union is a whole other thing. My mom used to be in U-46 when she started out her career, and she didn't get in there to make $1 million, and each guy different than, you know, they're making pittance money. My God, there's some of them getting $70,000-$80,000 for their retirement. That's their retirement. That's a pretty good... Some CEOs don't get that.
There's a lot of...
But anyways, I thought I'd just throw that out, that you could give them $1 million in school, and they'd still blow it.
A lot of them.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for your call, Mark. Yeah, well, as you say, Jack, oh, yeah, somebody making over $100,000, and even their pensions probably are close to that, if not more.
I'll give you an example.
For how many months of work? 9 months of work?
Yeah, it's 9 months of work, and they get a pension at age 56, three-quarters of their pay. Let me give you an example of one of the local school districts right close to the city, not a rich district. The board decided the superintendent wasn't doing what they liked. So they shoved him in a back room for 2 years until he retired, and they increased his salary from $148,000 to $198,000 a year in those 2 years. He retired at a retirement pay of $172,000 a year. Meanwhile, they hired another superintendent and started the cycle over. But that's the kind of money that goes out, and he's far from being the highest paid example of what they get. Our teacher pension system, the portion that doesn't have to do with Chicago, but most of the state and all the suburbs, that's got the IEA, the Illinois Education Association, branch of the NEA, that teacher pension fund is $23 billion in the hole. And that $23 billion is going to come out of the general revenue fund of Illinois. Blago is trying to get $1.5 billion to $2 billion next year, as is required by a law that was passed about a dozen years ago, and they won't get that much. But it's $23 billion in the hole, and it's coming out of the pockets of everybody but the teachers. The teachers don't pay for their pensions into the general revenue fund. All of the taxpayers do, all the businesses, all of the people. And that $23 billion, as things stand, is going to be paid to this crazy pension plan that the teachers got. Believe me, it's pretty great to work only 180 days a year and retire at age 56 and get a pension of three-quarters pay. And what that union contract does for these people is in the final 4 years, they really pack on the pay increases of 10, 20, 30, 40% a year. They run their salaries up in a skyrocket in order to get them these immense pensions. Right. and it's running the state broke.
Right. Jack, we got a break. We'll be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings, talking to Jack Roser of the Family Taxpayers Network and Education. Now, quickly, we have Bob on the line. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen. Jack, I have a question for you. various high schools in School District 246, presumably specialize in certain things. I read today.
I can barely hear you. Speak up.
Excuse me. I'll talk a little louder. The four district high schools in U-46, they state that they specialize in various things. For instance, the Bartlett High School is for gifted, talented, and Elgin is for visual and performance arts at Larkin, et cetera, et cetera. Now, they have a new high school here in South Elgin, and they are asking the people, presumably, what they would like to have this high school specialize in. And so far, they've had a couple of people say that a vocational school would be desirable.
Quickly, your response, Jack. We got about 30 seconds.
Yeah. My main complaint with the schools is that they aren't teaching the kids the basics, and the trouble starts out in first grade. By the sixth grade, you've got a lot of, especially boys, that are unruly in school because they haven't been given the basic education that will allow them to function in a classroom. They aren't going to be much good at getting a job later on either. So the thing is done early on. They can specialize in things like that, and that's kind of nice. But really, we would be doing a lot better if these schools would teach these children a real history, a real English, if they gave them something about the cultural heritage of the United States as to why it is the best country in the world. They ought to teach them the fundamentals.
On that note, Jack, thank you very much for being on the show today. Again, the website is thechampion.org. And thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
Okay, quotation of the week is from Thomas Jefferson. Dissent is the highest form of patriotism.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.
When bad weather hits, turn to WRMN 1410 for all the details.